Hello and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald, Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In local news headlines, authorities plan for influx of vehicles for Field of Dreams game. Story by Eric Hoogstrom, thmedia.com. Dateline, Dyersville, Iowa. Dyersville Police Chief Brent Schroeder has some words of advice for motorists traveling to and through his city when Major League Baseball descends upon Dubuque County for a second time. Quote, "Everybody needs to be patient," Schroeder said. Local law enforcement helped usher several thousand vehicles to and from last year's big league ball game at the Field of Dreams site, and authorities have planned for this year's influx of visitors based upon last year's experiences. "We learned a lot of things last year, so we've taken some steps to make traffic flow even smoother," Schroeder said. Here's a look at street closures, law enforcement staffing levels, and other facets of the traffic plans for the upcoming game between the Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds on August 11th at the Field of Dreams. Mind the street closures. "We have a lot of street closures, and we're going to have a ton of traffic in town," Schroeder said. "We'll be closing off downtown very similar to what we did last year. The following street closures will be enforced from August 10th to August 12th. 3rd Avenue Southwest from the bridge to 3rd Street Southwest. 1st Street Southwest from the alley north of 2nd Avenue Southwest to 3rd Avenue Southwest. 2nd Street Southwest from the alley north of 2nd Avenue Southwest to 3rd Avenue Southwest. 2nd Avenue Southwest between 1st Street and 2nd Street Southwest. On August 9th, the city will also close 2nd Avenue Northeast from the 2nd Street to the 3rd Street Northeast and the parking lot at the corner of 2nd Avenue and 2nd Street Northeast to throw a tailgate for the minor league game being played that day. Additionally, there will be closures enforced for a parade route for Budweiser Clydesdales on August 12th in Dyersville. The route will be along 1st Avenue East to 4th Street Southeast and west on 3rd Avenue Southeast, north on 2nd Street Southeast, and back to 1st Avenue West. Near the game site, Lansing Road will have restricted access from August 9th to August 13th, according to Dubuque County Sheriff Joe Kennedy. Who gets to drive when access is restricted? You have to have a specific reason to be at the MLB site, so it's only people who have parking passes or have identification like media or vendors, Kennedy said. Lansing Road residents will be allowed to come and go as they please, and anyone coming to their houses will be allowed to come and go. But if people come out, they're going to need to know whose house they're going to. If they give me a name and it's not one of the four houses affected, they're not getting by. More staff this year. We were stretched to the limit last year because in our planning we weren't sure how many people we would need for staffing, so we added a few more positions, Kennedy said. There will be about 50 law enforcement officers on the site between traffic control and site control. State agencies will provide officers to supplement local law enforcement. Dubuque Council agrees to take down information regarding former sister city. Story by John Cruz, thmedia.com. Dubuque City Council on Monday agreed to remove any signage related to a Russian city following the suspension of Dubuque's special relationship with a foreign municipality. City staff will remove any signage providing information on Pyatigorsk, Russia, as a result of Dubuque ending its, quote, sister city relationship with the city. Pyatigorsk Park, located in Dubuque, will also be renamed. In July, the Sister City Committee of Travel Dubuque agreed to suspend Dubuque's sister city status with Pyatigorsk, citing Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine as the primary reason for doing so. The committee was given sole authority to end Dubuque's sister city relationships by Dubuque City Council in 2017. As a participant in of Sister City International, Dubuque has entered into municipal sister city relationships with cities throughout the world as a means of promoting social and cultural ties between the communities. Dubuque first entered into its sister city relationship with Pyatigorsk in 1989, and it continues to hold sister city statuses with Handan, China, and Dornbirn, Austria. Keith Rahe, President and CEO of Travel Dubuque, said the Sister City Committee was initially supportive of maintaining Dubuque's sister city with Piatigorsk after Russia had invaded Ukraine, but the committee's attitude toward the relationship changed following an exchange with Piatigorsk leaders. On March 24th, Mayor Brad Kavanaugh sent a letter to Dmitry Voroshilov, mayor of Piatigorsk, expressing the committee's desire to maintain a relationship between both cities and urged Piatigorsk leaders to openly condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In Dubuque, we do not wish to end our relationship with you, Kavanaugh stated in his letter, adding, we plead with you now to please demand an end to the war in Ukraine. In a written response sent to Kavanaugh, Voroshilov rejected that Russia was in the wrong for the Ukrainian conflict and urged Dubuque to condemn the United States' alleged mistreatment of Russians. We ask you to demand from your government to stop discriminating our compatriots in the USA along national, linguistic, and religious lines, for such an approach is neither fair nor tolerant, Voroshilov stated in his letter. On Monday, city council members agreed that if the city's sister city relationship with Piatigorsk is ended, that steps should be taken to remove signage naming this Russian city. I'm sure it wasn't an easy decision, but it was the right one, said city council member Rick Jones. It's with a great deal of empathy towards our friends there that I agree that this is the right thing to do. However, city council member David Resnick also suggested the city should reconsider its sister city status with Handan, given the Chinese government internment and indoctrination of Uyghur Muslims. China is considered to have total disregard for human rights, Resnick said. That is also a problematic situation. Narrowing abortion access closes first on people in poverty. Story by Joshua Irvine, thmedia.com. Low-income residents of eastern Iowa and southwest Wisconsin likely will be among those most affected locally by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade and will face higher barriers to safely terminating a pregnancy. A majority of women who seek an abortion live in poverty and are most likely to struggle with the cost of child care. State legislatures in Iowa and Wisconsin have sought to curtail abortion access, and local residents also face myriad practical and financial roadblocks such as transportation and lodging. It's a lot harder for women to, one, find an abortion clinic, but two, to travel, said Allison Simpson of Bellevue, Iowa, an organizer for abortion rights advocacy group We Won't Go Back. And a lot of women or people with uteruses can't afford to have a child. According to the Guttmacher Institute, a reproductive health non-governmental organization, some 75% of abortions in 2014 occurred among residents living below 200% of the federal poverty line. 6 in 10 of those women were already a parent. Locally, Community Foundation of Greater Dubuque found that 65.9% of Dubuque County families in 2020 paid more than 7% of their income on child care costs, a level that the nonprofit Child Care of America deemed affordable in a 2019 study and the metric used by the foundation. State and federal funding offer support to new parents, but low-income parents already can face a higher burden than most. They are more likely to have issues with food insecurity, to have issues with housing, said Vicki Gassman, Child Health Program Coordinator for Unity Point Health Visiting Nurse Association. They're more likely to turn to drugs and alcohol to deal with stress levels. They're more likely to have those higher stress levels. Anti-abortion groups in Dubuque offer some support to pregnant women. Clarity Clinic, a crisis pregnancy center that discourages clients from seeking abortion, offers ultrasounds and pregnancy tests as well as donated goods such as diapers until children reach age 4, but cannot provide direct financial support or daycare services, said Executive Director Chris Nauman. Dubuque County Right to Life Executive Director August Payne noted local sources of assistance such as crisis pregnancy centers, maternity housing, local homeless shelters, and adoption. He also cited Iowa Safe Haven Law, which allows parents to leave an infant up to 30 days old at a hospital or health care facility without fear of prosecution. A parent can drop off a baby with no questions asked and move on with their life, he said. It's a forgotten solution. For all those who seek to terminate a pregnancy, their options increasingly are limited. Telehealth services such as CareFM provide at-home abortion pills that are effective during the first 11 weeks of pregnancy, but cost hundreds of dollars and might not be covered by insurance. The nearest abortion clinic to Dubuque is in Iowa City, and Iowa's 24-hour waiting period requirement is enforceable as of June, meaning Dubuque area residents either have to find lodging or potentially drive hundreds of miles. Now, they have to pay for gas twice and miss work twice, said April Clark of Abortion, Iowa Abortion Access Fund. It can get pretty financially stressful on top of having to pay for an abortion, which is quite an expense on its own. Abortion funds and practical support networks have seen demand for services surge. Allison Dryth of Midwest Access Coalition, which provides transportation, lodging, food, child care, medication, and emotional support for people seeking an abortion, as well as emergency contraception, said the group served more than 800 people in 2021. This year, she said they hit that figure on July 14th. That demand means the group has had to cut some services. Midwest Access Coalition previously would pay for a second person to accompany each client, but Dry said officials have also seen an increase in donor support since the recent Supreme Court decision. Clients are traveling further and further, often to Chicago or the Twin Cities, to get abortion services, Dry said. We have seen a lot of Iowans having to leave the state, she said. Leaders of We Won't Go Back said the group is in the early stages of organizing transportation and fundraising for people seeking to terminate a pregnancy. I would love to get that up and running if we can, said organizer Hannah Smith. It'll take a very long time, but I'm sure we can figure it out. New restaurants, museums, expand options in Dyersville ahead of second MLB game. Dateline, Dyersville, Iowa. In the year that has passed since Major League Baseball played its first game in Dyersville, the town has welcomed multiple new businesses and attractions to greet visitors as the second MLB game approaches next week. I think Dyersville's always going to be evolving in a good way, said Tara Rahi, owner of Fuse, a Dyersville restaurant, sports bar, and wine lounge that opened in March. There's more and more businesses and things that are growing and coming. And with all the different events, people will see a lot more than what they saw last year. The Chicago Cubs and Cincinnati Reds will face off in the stadium adjacent to the Field of Dreams on August 11th. With the minor league baseball game on Tuesday, August 9th. Rahi's business will team up with a textile brewing company to hold a tailgate event ahead of the minor league game. Fuse will also hold multiple private corporate parties the week of the MLB game, and Rahi has been recruiting family and friends to ensure the eatery is well-staffed for the rush of attendees she anticipates on game day. Our sports bar area will be open the whole time, and we'll have almost all the TVs showing the game, she said. I think it'll be great for a lot of people coming from outside the area. Want a little bit different atmosphere, but still a small town feel. In the past year, the city has also welcomed a new coffee shop, Asian Square, which opened in June in the same building as Fuse. Dyersville Family Restaurant saw an extensive remodel in March, and the Palace Saloon reopened and rebranded under new ownership in late 2021. Jackie Rahi, Executive Director of Dyersville Economic Development Corp, said that since last year's MLB game, the number of inquiries from potential new business owners seeking space in the Dyersville area has, quote, almost quadrupled. The latest addition is Seven Hills West, a Dyersville location of Dubuque-based Seven Hills Brewing Company that will include a taproom, restaurant, arcade, bowling alley, and patio. Jackie Rahi said the business located at 703 13th Avenue Southeast is planning a soft opening the week of the MLB game with an official opening around Labor Day. It just gives visitors a wider variety of things to do and interesting things to see, she said of the new businesses. If they get to town a little early or if they don't have tickets and they're planning on enjoying the viewing party and all the activities down at City Square, they can walk to a few stops and enjoy the local flavor there. This year, visitors can also check out two baseball-themed museums that have moved into the former Tegeler Dairy Building at 310 South 2nd Street Southeast. The structure now known as the baseball building houses both the If You Can Build It, If You Build It exhibit and the new Baseball Hall of Dreams Museum. Amanda Schwartz is a manager for the If You Build It exhibit, which was open for 2 years on First Avenue West before moving to its new, larger location. The new location allowed us to expand our story and tell it even more fully, she said. Having the Baseball Hall of Dreams partner with us in the same building really connects the community and increases the value for people to come and visit us. The Baseball Hall of Dreams is owned by Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the Field of Dreams movie, along with his business partner, David Fagan. The museum, which focuses on the history of baseball and highlights players with disabilities or from minority populations who broke barriers, will hold a grand opening August 10th. Brown said the museum is designed to celebrate baseball's impact on American culture and offers visitors another activity in Dyersville. There is still another 10,000 square feet in the property for other businesses, and Brown said the baseball building officials are working on adding batting cages and recruiting an operator for a baseball-themed eatery at the site. We tried to focus on the love of the game in all of its forms, he said. With all the expansion they're doing at the field, we thought that clearly more baseball fans will be coming to Dyersville, and if we could give them something else to keep them in town, it would be a benefit to everybody. Earlier this spring, officials with the Go Distance Baseball, which owns the Field of Dreams, announced plans for $80 million in projects and investments at the site. The master plan to be completed in favors by 2025 includes a youth baseball complex with 9 new baseball and softball fields, a 104-room boutique hotel and amphitheater, and a recreational vehicle park, jogging trails, and more. They have so many big plans out there, and they're obviously very excited about that, Brown said. Hopefully this group, the growth that seems imminent for Dyersville, will be done in a tasteful way that keeps the charm of the small town and accommodates the visitor who comes and wants to have something else to do other than what's out there for them at the great movie site. Authorities say one dead after vehicle struck by train in southwest Wisconsin. Dateline Cassville, Wisconsin. Authorities said one person died Saturday after his vehicle was struck by a train near Cassville. Lawrence Osterhaus, 69, of Glen Haven, was pronounced dead at the scene as a result of his injuries, according to a press release from the Grant County Sheriff's Department. The release states that the Grant County Sheriff's Department at 2:35 p.m. Saturday of a crash on Closing Dam Road in Cassville Township. An investigation into the crash found that Osterhaus was attempting to cross railroad tracks on Closing Dam Road as a train was traveling south. The release states that the train struck the passenger side of Osterhaus' truck when he pulled into the railroad crossing. Five Flags recovers all funds targeted by foreign hackers. Dubuque's Five Flags Center announced Monday that all funds targeted by foreign hackers have been recovered. The center announced in a press release that the wire transfer of the targeted funds had been stopped before the transfer could be completed. This is the best possible outcome to what was a very stressful situation over the past month, said Five Flags Center General Manager H.R. Cook in the release. We applaud the efforts of Midwest One Bank, ASM Global's Security and Information Technology Departments, and the federal law enforcement agencies who work so diligently to bring us to this successful outcome. This situation has served as a reminder that these kinds of attacks can happen to anyone, and we all need to take proper precautions. The Dubuque Police Department previously reported that $300,000 was targeted by hackers through an unauthorized transaction made via Midwest One Bank last month. Peppa Pig show to play at Five Flags Center. A live stage show based on a popular children's animated television series will perform in Dubuque. Peppa Pig's Adventure will be performed at 6 p.m. on Friday, October 28th at Five Flags Center. Tickets will go on sale at 10 a.m. on Friday, August 5 at the Five Flags office, box office, or online at Ticketmaster.com, according to the press release. Ticket prices range from $29 to $63. The hour-long live show features Peppa Pig and her friends on a camping trip and includes singing, dancing, games, and surprises, according to the Five Flags Center website. Here's a roundup from BizBuzz. Third fitness facility location to open in Dubuque County. Galena Med Spa offering new services to the area. Southwest Wisconsin Karate School moving. This story is by Kaylee Reese, thmedia.com. BizBuzz shares business tidbits from across the tri-states. This edition highlights developments in Cascade, Iowa, Galena, Illinois, and Cuba City, Wisconsin. A third Dubuque County location of a fitness facility will open later this year in Cascade. A new location for Bar Raising Fitness is currently under construction at 1303 First Avenue East next to Dollar General. Bar Raising Fitness opened its first location in 2019 at Kennedy Mall in Dubuque. A second location opened in 2020 in Dyersville, Iowa. It's going to be kind of the same as both other facilities, owner Brandon Hogan said of the Cascade facility. It's going to be an athlete and training facility with classes, one-on-one training, and sports camps. We thought it would be a good fit to be on that corner of Dubuque County to help that community and smaller communities around it. The site previously was the location of Cascade Lanes and Lounge, as well as an attached Happy Joe's Pizza, which suffered heavy damage in a fire in August 2019. Hogan said Bar Raising Fitness acquired the property at the beginning of the summer, and he estimated that the facility would open in October. The new facility will be a little more than 4,000 square feet and include a large turf area and strength section. Hogan noted that two trainers will work at the Cascade facility. We just want to be able to offer to in this area and all parts of Dubuque County the most advanced sports and fitness training in the area, he said. We want to teach them the right way to work out, and we want to help change their lifestyle and build character with them. We are very passionate about helping people to the next level and helping them take them in any way we can. More information on the Cascade Bar Raising Fitness facility, including an announcement on class schedules, will be shared later at barraisingfitness.com and facebook.com/barraisingfitness. Galena Med Spa offering new services to area. A new Galena business is offering new medical services to the area, especially for cancer patients. Galena Med Spa, 202 Summit Street, Suite 1B, open in June. Dr. Bobby Conaro, who is a faculty member at Loyola University Chicago Stritch School of Medicine, is Med Spa's Director of Integrative Oncology, and local nurse Melissa Kindred is the spa's manager. I think what makes this med spa unique is that there are multiple layers to it, Conaro said. There's the traditional services, such as anti-aging therapeutics and weight loss, but the wellness component and oncology component is pretty unique. You don't typically see that with med spas. Conaro said that starting in September, the business will offer a variety of therapies, targeting lifestyle and wellness specifically for cancer patients. He said lifestyle modifications such as weight loss, supplementation, and stress reduction can help reduce the risk of cancer. They are types of therapy that are not traditionally offered to cancer patients to reduce recurrence of cancer or to people in general, he said. It's not something that our healthcare system has put a lot of resources into. I think as the aging population grows, I think more and more people will be interested in that. Kindred said the spa currently offers holistic health coaching, face and body contouring, and massage therapy. We feel like we have really great potential to grow, she said. We're really excited with what we have so far, and we're looking forward to all the additional treatments soon. Galena Med Spa can be reached at 779-202-1281 and found online at galenamedspa.com. Karate school moving from Platteville to Cuba City. A karate school will move from Platteville, Wisconsin to Cuba City later this year. Full Circle Tang Su Do is relocating to 107 West Webster Street in Cuba City next to Banfield Beauty and Bar and Gile Real Estate and Insurance. Full Circle owner Jim Luby aims to start classes at the new location by late October. I've been involved in the martial arts for many, many years, and I'm still continuing my own training, which is what it is all about. To have lifelong learning, Ruby said. I saw the new building and I thought, this would make a really nice space for karate school and other classes. Full Circle Tang Soo Do formerly was known as Platteville Karate Club, but Ruby changed the name once he knew it would move to Cuba City. The karate school started in 1987, and Ruby took over as head instructor in 2007 and owner in 2009. It currently operates out of Platteville's O.E. Gray Community Learning Center, 155 West Lewis Street, and has about 30 students. Classes are open to people age 7 and older. Ruby said the move came about after Platteville officials outlined plan to build a new fire station at the center site. He said classes could continue in Platteville through the end of the year, but he either will cease or limit classes in Platteville once the Cuban City location opens. Ruby said the new location currently is being transformed from a former hair salon to a place for karate classes. He added that he is also considering offering classes, other classes, in the space, including cardio kickboxing and tai chi. He also is considering classes for seniors. Karate is great, but it's not the right fit for everyone, Ruby said. We wanted to take advantage of the space there in Cuba City to complement what we're doing with karate. Full Circle Tang Soo Do can be found online at FullCircleTangSoDo.com or Facebook/FullCircleTangSoDo. Minnesota man charged in deadly Wisconsin River attack. Dateline Hudson, Wisconsin. A 52-year-old Minnesota man was charged Monday with killing a teenager and stabbing 4 other people in a dispute that allegedly began with a lost cell phone during a weekend tubing excursion on a western Wisconsin river. Investigators said in court documents that Nicolay Mew of Prior Lake, Minnesota attacked the group after people accused him of approaching children in the water. Mew told investigators he had acted in self-defense. He faces 1 count of first-degree intentional homicide, 4 counts of attempted first-degree intentional homicide in St. Croix County, which sits along Wisconsin's border with Minnesota. The judge set bond at $1 million cash for Mew, who appeared in the hearing by video. The family of teen who died has identified him as 17-year-old Isaac Schumann of Stillwater, Minnesota. He would have been a senior at Stillwater High School this fall. The victims were tubing on the Saturday down the Apple River northeast of Stillwater, which is about 25 miles east of Minneapolis, when they were attacked, sheriff officials said. Those wounded were 2 men from Luck, Wisconsin, ages 20 and 22, a 24-year-old woman from Burnsville, Minnesota, and a 22-year-old man from Elk River, Minnesota. Minnesota Public Radio obtained a copy of the criminal complaint against Mew. According to the complaint, Mew was tubing down the river with his wife and several other people. Another group of people also was tubing along the river. Mew told investigators that he was using a snorkel and goggles to look for a lost cell phone. Video and witness accounts indicate bystanders accused him of approaching children in the water. Witnesses said Mew was bothering a group of juveniles, and others told him to leave, the complaint states. Instead of leaving, Mew punched a woman, and a fight ensued, according to the complaint. Mew video shows him falling into the river, emerging with a knife, and then stabbing a person. There was enough blood in the river that water turned red tint in places, the complaint states. Mew told investigators that he was provoked, according to the complaint. He said at least 2 others in the crowd had knives, and he took one of the knives away from one of the males in the crowd, but didn't know what happened to it. They attacked me, he said. I was in self-defense mode. The Burnsville victim, Riley Madison, wrote in a GoFundMe post that she was tubing with her friends when they came upon a group asking for help. She said there was an older man who was being inappropriate and was asked to leave but wouldn't, and that he stabbed her and several other people. The victims from Luck have been released from the hospital. St. Croix County Sheriff Scott Knutson said Monday. Schumann's family said in a statement that he was an honor roll student and was preparing to apply to several universities to study electrical engineering. Stillwater High School principal Robert Bach sent an email to families that we extend our deepest sympathy to the family and everyone impacted directly or indirectly. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald on Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022 on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Jean T. Martin. Jean T. Lonegro Martin, 89, of Dubuque, Iowa. When to be with Jesus, July 28, 2022. She was born on December 23, 1932 to Philip and Anne Lonergro in Brooklyn, New York. Jean attended Tilden High School in Brooklyn, New York and graduated class of 1952. She married Thomas Dwight Martin on December 21, 1957 at Holy Family Church in Canarsie, Brooklyn, New York. Jean and Tom settled in Bordentown, New Jersey and had two children, Deborah and Cynthia Martin. Jean had many hobbies, including being part of the Nutty Knitters Club in Bordentown. In 1972, the family moved to Rainbow City, Gadsden, Alabama. There, Jean took an active role in the Rainbow Presbyterian Church as a church secretary and teaching Sunday school and Bible school. Jean also helped belong to the Newcomers Club, helped organize events, and wrote the newsletter under the pen name of Katie Kehoe. Jean and Tom moved to Florida in the 1990s before relocating to Dubuque, Iowa in 2005. Jean is survived by her daughters, Deborah Dr. Mark Fortson and Cynthia Martin, sister Diane Fred Corelli, and brother Philip Debbie Lonergro Jr., grandchildren Casey Corey Walton and Christopher Isaac, Zoe Wernemont, Josh Ethan Fortson, Sarah and Paige Fortson. Her great-grandchildren went to Walton, Connor and Ellie Wernemont. Jean was preceded in death by her husband, Thomas, her parents, Philip and Anne Lonergro, her mother-in-law, Addie Del Martin, and nephew, Gary Corelli. There will be no public services. The family wants to thank Dr. Ken Steffen for his patience and care of Jean. Also thankful to Hawkeye Care Center, Nurse Tracy Reese, and Aunt Maggie for their wonderful care of Jean. Brenda Bloch. Brenda Bloch, 89, of Dubuque, died on Monday, August 1, 2022. Arrangements are pending at Egelhoff, Siegert, and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory. Patricia K. Daniels, Bellevue, Iowa. Patricia Pat K. Daniels, 84, of Bellevue, died on Friday, July 29, 2022. Complete arrangements are pending at Huckman Meyer Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Bellevue. Leo J. Klosterman, Telegraph Herald. Dyersville, Iowa. Leo W. Klosterman, 84, of Dyersville, passed away Saturday, July 30, 2022, at Mercy One Medical Center in Dyersville. Visitation will be held from 2 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, August 2, 2022, at Kramer Funeral Home in Dyersville, where the Knights of Columbus will recite a rosary at 5:30 p.m., and American Legion Post 137 will conduct a service at 7 p.m. Visitation will continue Wednesday from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. at the funeral home prior to funeral services. A mass of Christian burial will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 3, 2022 at St. Francis Xavier Basilica in Dyersville. The Reverend Philip Agyai will officiate and Deacon Roger Reesburg will assist. Burial will be in the church cemetery where the American Legion Post 137 will accord American military honors. Leo was born February 21, 1938, in Fillmore, Iowa, the son of Lawrence and Romilda Rogers Klosterman. He graduated from St. Martin Catholic High School in Cascade and enlisted in the Army, serving from 1957 to 1959. He married Carol Fitzgerald on June 16, 1962, at St. Francis Xavier Basilica in Dyersville. Leo worked at John Deere Dubuque Works for 30 years and plus years, and was a member of Knights of Columbus Council 1734 and the American Legion Post 137. Survivors include his wife, Carol, children, Lori, Todd Sherman of Millville, Deborah Brogdon of Overland Park, Kansas, Doug Jody Klosterman of Dyersville, Kathy Klosterman of Merriam, Kansas, and Bruce Laura Klosterman of Lee Summit, Missouri, 9 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren, siblings Lois, Dave Gavin of Leisure Lake, Larry Linda Klosterman of Ankeny, Gary Klosterman of Dubuque, Janice Beeman of Cascade, and Jura Lynn Puccio of Cedar Rapids, in-laws Darlene Klosterman of Earlville, Vince Manders of Dubuque, Mary Jane Banning of Logan, Utah, and Bev Sampson of Edgewood. He was preceded in death by his parents, sibling Carl Klosterman, Mary Manders, Jean Flute Weber, and Geraldine Mike Gorman. In-laws Merle Beeman, Keith Banning, Dale Fitzgerald, Lois Fitzgerald, Ed Karen Fitzgerald, John Jean Fitzgerald, Bob, Sylvia Fitzgerald, Jim Cookie Fitzgerald, and Roland Sampson. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.kramerfuneral.com. John C. Paisley. Father John Jack Paisley, 86, of Dubuque, died on Sunday, July 31, 2022. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, August 3rd at the Church of the Resurrection, with a Mass of Christian burial at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, August 4th at the church. Burial will be in Resurrection Cemetery in Asbury. Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory is in care of the arrangements. Rita C. Keeler, Platteville, Wisconsin. Rita C. Keeler, 85, of Platteville, Wisconsin, formerly of Dickeyville, Wisconsin, passed away Sunday, July 31, 2022, at Epion Pavilion in Cuba City, Wisconsin. A Mass of Christian burial will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 3, 2022, at Holy Ghost Catholic Church, Dickeyville, Wisconsin, with the Reverend Bernard Rott officiating. Burial will be in the church cemetery. Visitation for family and friends will be held from 9 to a.m. to 10:45 a.m. at the church prior to the service. Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Cuba City is assisting the family. Rita was born on September 19, 1936 in Jackson County, Iowa. The daughter of Louis and Fern Yarolem Green, she married James Keeler on October 3, 1956 at St. Patrick's Church in Dubuque, Iowa. He preceded her in death on January 29, 1990. She married Jerry Castle on May 8, 1998. He preceded her in death on January 4, 2015. Rita worked as a CNA for over 20 years for Southwest Hall. She was a baker for 13 years at Dick's Bakery in Platteville, instructed dance at the Arthur Murray Dance Studio, and worked as a secretary for an ad agency. Rita enjoyed her dogs, sunflowers, camping, fishing, and dancing. Survivors include 3 daughters, Ann Adams, Saline, Michigan, Beth Keeler, St. Ann, Missouri, and Alita Keeler, Madison, Wisconsin, 2 sons, Victor, Joanne Keeler, and Ted Keeler, both of Platteville, Wisconsin, a brother, Francis Green, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 7 grandchildren, Kay Kevin Brosh, Greg Abby Dressler, Chris Joe Lathrop Dressler, Philip Molly Keeler, Jessica Andy Thompson Keeler, Kiana Keeler, and James W. Adams, and 15 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents and a son-in-law, Jack W. Adams. Online condolences for the family may be left at www.caseymcnett.com. Robert A. Check, Dateline, Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Robert A. Check, 92, of Prairie du Chien, died on Sunday, July 31, 2022. Visitation will be held from 9 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, August 4th at St. Wenceslaus Catholic Church in Eastman, Wisconsin, with a Mass of Christian burial to follow at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Burial will be in this church cemetery. The Garrity Funeral Home of Prairie du Chien is assisting the family. www.garrityfuneralhome.com. Carol M. Canock, Jefferson, Texas. Carol M. Canock, 83, of Jefferson, died on Monday, July 25th, 2022. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday, August 4th, and from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Friday, August 5th, at St. John's Catholic Church in Patch Grove, Wisconsin, where a Mass of Christian burial will take place at 11 a.m. on Friday. Burial will be in St. John's Crematory Cemetery, Patch Grove. Martin Schwartz Funeral Home in Lancaster is assisting the family. Jeffrey S. Witzel, Muskota, Wisconsin. Jeffrey Scott Witzel, age 54, of Muskota, Wisconsin, lost his courageous battle with cancer on Sunday, July 31, 2022, surrounded by family. He leaves a large hole in the hearts of his family and friends who are always entertained by his quick wit and sarcasm. Jeff was born on June 7, 1968, to Rose Ann and Curtis Witzel in Cohorse, New York. After high school, Jeff became a traveling amateur college student throughout the UW system. Following college, Jeff began his 26-year career with Cardinal IG in Spring Green, Wisconsin, where he formed many relationships. Jeff held various positions at Cardinal, with the most recent being production supervisor. In this capacity, Jeff served as Cardinal's threat assessment coordinator. Jeff enjoyed fishing, riding motorcycles, racing sports, firearms, and shooting. He was always asking to be driven around as he enjoyed long car rides where he could open the window and breathe in the fresh air, admiring the beautiful scenery. He loved his Nebraska Cornhuskers, Indianapolis Colts, and Brewers. Jeff's greatest love was spending time with his daughter, Aislinn Elizabeth Rose. The two of them were inseparable, from her competing in four-wheeler races to boating on the river, as well as any activity that put a smile on Aislinn's face. Jeff was an amazing father, brother, and friend. He will be missed by all those who knew him. Jeff was survived by his daughter, Aislinn, for whom he fought so hard in his struggle against cancer, and which he loved more than life itself, and their dog, Daisy. Jeff is also survived by his brother, Randy, and wife, Carrie Witzel, nephews and nieces and nephews, Jace, Draven, Rose, Jolie, Brady, and Levi. Jeff is also survived by Chuck and Pat Willie, Alicia Willie, Casey Willie, Alex Willie, Charlie Titchener, mother of Aislinn, and his dearest friend, Zane Berry, Bart Wood, and Heather Vig, along with many aunts and uncles. Jeff is preceded in death by his parents, Roseanne and Kurt Witzel, Aunt June Rice, whom he considered his second mom, and two beloved dogs, Tara and Chase. Funeral services will be held on Thursday, August 4th at 4 p.m. at Martin Schwartz Crematorium Funeral Home in Bloomington, with Pastor Mary Ann Floki officiating. Private family burial will be at a later date. Visitation will be held on Thursday from 2 p.m. until time of services at the funeral home. In lieu of plants and flowers, memorial may be given to the testamentary trust for the benefit of Aislinn Witzel. Online condolences at www.martinschwartzfuneralhomes.com. Here are some funeral services from the Telegraph Herald. Bernard J. Averkamp, Cuba City, Wisconsin. Visitation, 9 a.m. to noon, Thursday, August 4th. Howden Shield Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Cuba City. Service, 12:30 p.m., Thursday, St. Peter's Catholic Church, Elk Grove Township. Joseph C. Bertling, Bernard, Iowa, Celebration of Life, 5 p.m., Friday, August 12th, Bernard Commercial Club. Jean M. Black, Dubuque, visitation 9 to 9:30 a.m., Thursday, August 4th, Mary Frances Clark Chapel, Mount Carmel Bluffs, Sharing of Memories, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Thursday at the chapel. Mass of Christian Burial, 10:30 a.m. Thursday at the chapel. Deb Burkhart, Dubuque. Mass of Christian Burial, 10 a.m. today, St. Joseph Catholic Church, Key West. Fred H. DeShaw, Worthington, Iowa. Visitation, 3 to 9 p.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, and from 9 to 10 a.m. Thursday, August 4th. Kramer Funeral Home, Dyersville. Service, 10:30 a.m. Thursday, St. Paul Catholic Church, Worthington. Loretta T. Donahue, Dubuque. Service, 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Elizabeth Eck, with Oregon, Wisconsin. Service, noon, Sunday, August 7th, St. Patrick's Catholic Church, Epworth, Iowa, followed by a reception in the church hall. Marilyn J. Klein, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Visitation, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. today, St. Francis Xavier Basilica, Dyersville. Service, 1:30 p.m. today at the church. Virginia Lammer, Dubuque. Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, August 5th, Eaglehoff Secret and Casper Funeral Home, 2659 John F. Kennedy Road. Massive Christian Burial, 10 a.m. Saturday, August 6th, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Constance Lasai, Dubuque. Visitation, 9 to 11 a.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, Hoffman Schneider and Kitchen Funeral Home, 3860 Asbury Road. Service, 11 a.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Patrick I. Malone, Apple Canyon Lake, Illinois. Visitation from 10 to 10:45 a.m. today, St. Patrick's Catholic Church, Benton, Wisconsin. Service, 11 a.m. today at the church. Mary E. McPoland, Dubuque. Visitation, 9 a.m. today at the funeral home. Mass for Christian Burial, 10:30 a.m. today, St. Patrick's Catholic Church, Epworth. John A. Meyer, Lancaster, Wisconsin. Visitation, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, August 6th, Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Lancaster. Jean B. Meyer, Dubuque. Celebration of Life, Saturday, August 27th, American Legion Hall, 1306 Dell High Street. Antoinette Odding, Earlville, Iowa. Visitation, 9 to 11, 10:15 a.m. today, St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Earlville. Mass of Christian Burial, 10:30 a.m. today at the church. Andrew H. Smythe, Monona, Wisconsin, Visitation, 10:09 a.m. to 12:15 p.m. Friday, August 5th, Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services, Benton. Service, 10:30 a.m. Friday at the funeral homes. Lois M. Sweeney, Dubuque, Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, August 4th, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 22595 Rockdale Road, Mass of Christian Burial, 10:30 a.m. Friday, August 5th, Church of the Resurrection. James A. Waters, Dubuque, Visitation, 4 to 7 p.m. today, Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory, 2595 Rockdale Road. Service, 10 a.m. Wednesday, August 3rd, at the funeral home. Here is another obituary. Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Donald Ludwig Osterhaus, 88, died on July 5th, 2022, unexpectedly in a car accident. He was born on May 4th, 1934, to Joseph H. and Rose Wegman Osterhaus in Bloomington, Wisconsin. Don served 2 years in the Army and spent 1 year of duty in Korea. When returning from the service, he met Mary Alice McCarthy at a dance at the Checkerboard in Prairie du Chien. Don married Mary Alice on September 8, 1958 at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Wauzeka, Wisconsin, and lived the rest of his life in Prairie du Chien. Don worked at and eventually managed the F.S. Mill in Prairie du Chien. He worked as a regional dairy feed sales manager for S.S. Gromark until his retirement. He then worked part-time in Walmart assembling bicycles and grills. Don was an avid baseball player, coach, and fan. He played on the Wyalusing State Park ball team and on a traveling ball team with the Army. Don coached Prairie Youth Baseball and 4-H softball for many years. In his later years, he groomed fields and sold raffle tickets for Legion Baseball and traveled far and wide to watch his grandchildren play baseball and softball or participate in various activities. He liked to catch his limit of fish, completed many woodworking projects, and was active in St. Gabriel's Church and School activities for many, many years. Don is survived by his wife, Mary, and 6 children, Diane Tom of Appleton, John Tina of Eastman, David of Brookfield, Rodney Laurie of Dalton, Greg Stephanie Burnsville of Minnesota, Brian Emily of Oregon, 19 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren. He's also survived by 3 brothers, Carl Linda of Dickeyville, Paul Charlene of Hazel Green, and Joe Leona of Ocala, Florida, and many nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his son, Robert Joanne of Burnsville, Minnesota, a brother, Roger of Bloomington, a sister, Mert Christensen of Lancaster. His parents and infant brother, family asset memorials be given to St. Ferriol Island Gardens, PDC High School Athletics, or Prairie Catholic Schools. A memorial mass of resurrection will be on Monday, August 8, 2022 at St. Gabriel's Church of the Holy Family Parish. Monsignor Charles Stutzel will officiate with interment in the Calvary Cemetery, both in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. Friends may call at the Garrity Funeral Home on Sunday, August 7, 2022 from 5 to 8 p.m. Military honors will be accorded graveside by the Prairie du Chien Honor Guard, www.garrityfuneralhome.com. Dubuque Community School District announces employee salaries from last fiscal year. Dubuque Community Schools District officials will release salary expenditures for employees during the 2021-22 school year. Former Superintendent Stan Reinigans earned a salary of $282,935 in his final year before departing the district on June 30th to become Chief Administrator of the Keystone Area Education Agency. He was succeeded by Amy Hawkins, the district's former Chief Human Services Officer, who earned a salary of $149,940 in the most recent fiscal year. When Hawkins was appointed the superintendent role in March, board members approved a 2-year contract and a salary of $225,000 for her. Other members of the superintendent's cabinet earned the following salaries during the 2021-2022 fiscal year. Lisa Tabakhorst, Executive Director of Elementary Education, $140,500. Mark Burns, Executive Director of Secondary Education, $141,708. Brenda Duvall, Executive Director of Secondary Education, $140,502. Shirley Horseman, Executive Director of Student Services, 145,730. Kevin Kelleher, Chief Financial Officer, 155,087. Mike Sizey, Chief Communications Officer, 121,227. Kobe Culbertson, Chief Technology Officer, 132,041. Joseph Maloney, Director of Activities and Athletics, $124,461. Mimi Holsinger, Director of Behavior and Learning Supports, $92,532. Julie Lang, Director of Digital Literacy, $92,532. Dear Littleton, Director of Equity, $87,774. Full list of the Dubuque Community School District salaries from 2021-22 school year can be viewed on Telegraph Herald's pages 2C to 5C. The Dubuque Speedway Classic End of Fair Week, a story by Matt Johnson, Telegraph Herald. Jason Roth wanted to end the Dubuque County Fair on a high note with a win in the Julian Dubuque Classic. In the final event of the fair on Sunday night, Roth survived a pair of collisions for a victory in the IMCA Sports Mods Division. Roth of Hazel Green, Wisconsin, stayed out of a six-car pileup on the fourth lap of a feature, then watched as two leaders both went off the track ahead of him. After yellow flag, with five laps remaining, Roth was in third position. The win was just one piece in the bigger picture for Roth. "We're trying to win a championship," Roth said of his Dubuque Speedway season. "We have more than 10 wins, and we've been running really good. Big thing for us is catching the 33 team, Jared Franson, in the standings," Roth continued. "We're trying to do it." Roth picked up a six-feature win of the season at Dubuque in his third in as many attempts. Fans were treated to a good deal of competitive dirt track racing. Some fans in the infield took umbrage with each other regarding one of the collisions in the sports mod race, and a brouhaha developed with plenty of pushing and hair pulling in the pits. One man walked away shirtless, but things calmed down as the next feature started. In the IMCA Hobby Stocks, David Crimmins completed a rare Dubuque County Fair double as he won on Wednesday, then raced to the checkered flag on Sunday night. Crimmins of Dubuque had to hold off a strong challenge from Jimmy Dosher of Hollandale, Wisconsin. Dosher started in seventh, but avoided the same crashes as Crimmins. For a baseball dominant final act for Savory, story by Jim Leitner, thmedia.com. Aaron Savory considered it an honor to wear a Dubuque Waller jersey the past four summers, so he wanted to create one last memorable moment in it. Did he ever? The University of Iowa recruit earned team MVP honors, leading the small schools east to the championship in the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association All-Star Series this weekend in Mason City. Savory turned in the performance of the tournament, striking out 15 in 8 2/3 innings of no-hit ball on Saturday in an eventual 1-0-9-inning victory over Small Schools West. Small Schools East, which also included Dyersville Beckmans, Catholics Owen Hoongarth, and Cascades Jack Carr and Tanner Simon, won the All-Star Series for the third consecutive time, joining the 2018 and 2019 squads. The IHSBCA did not hold the event the past two summers out of concern over the coronavirus pandemic. "It really meant a lot to me to be able to represent Waller in an All-Star Series like this and put on that uniform one last time," Savory said. "There are only four high schools in the state who don't end their season with a loss, and they're the four state champions. But to have an opportunity to represent your school and win an All-Star Series like this is pretty big. I'd like to think I represented the jersey pretty well and took it off one last time on a pretty big note. I am really not about personal accomplishments. I trade all that for the feeling of winning a ball game. But it is pretty humbling to be named MVP, especially when you look at how much talent we had on our team this weekend. I'm grateful for the opportunity." Savory, the Gatorade Baseball Player of the Year, went 7-1 with a 1.15 ERA and 84 strikeouts in 48 2/3 innings as a senior at Waller. He also hit .295. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, anytime. Thank you for your time.